And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick, joins me here in the studio. Good to see you, Judy.
Good to be back here from West Virginia.
West Virginia. That's where you've been. Shepherdstown, West Virginia, where the Contemporary American Theater Festival is happening. So there are six plays. You saw them all, right?
Yep. Good overnight.
For good for you. God bless.
Six
in 2 days. Are there any shared themes between the different plays at the festival?
Well, there's no single overriding theme. Ed Herendeen, who founded the festival and is its producing director, doesn't select plays with common themes in mind, but sometimes these emerge. And I identified a couple of these. What It Means to Be a Man crops up in four of the six plays to one extent or another. There's even a comedy called Support Group for Men. And truth and lies, especially lying to yourself, shows up in a couple of plays, particularly a play called Chester Bailey, about a blind man who has convinced himself that he can see. And the festival's interest in history and in politics continues, not as prominently as last season, but history is the foundation of a play called My Lord, What a Night, about Albert Einstein and Marian Anderson. And there's also a play called A Welcome Guest that's a sci-fi, futuristic, political allegory.
So that's interesting that you say that this is one of the themes might be what it means to be a man, because there's a lot of focus recently on plays by and about women. I mean, is this festival bucking the trend? I mean, women are ascendant in the theater world in America, at least.
Yes, and long overdue.
Indeed.
But they're not bucking the trend in Shepherdstown as much as it might sound. Female playwrights are well represented. And even the plays about the definitions of masculinity look at the nurturing side of men or the dangers of embracing violent stereotypes. Support Group for Men, the play I just mentioned, is by a woman, Ellen Ferry. This play's been done at Chicago's Goodman Theater about a year ago. The plays aren't all brand new. Some of them are nearly new. Support Group for Men has four guys from fairly different backgrounds who get together every Thursday, and they use a talking stick. They've borrowed some things from the Native Americans, and they use this stick to talk to and to listen to whatever is on their minds that happens to come up they talk about. The first clue that something might go awry is this talking stick, because it's made out of a baseball bat, which is, of course, a potential weapon. This particular Thursday, a stranger sneaks into the apartment where the group is meeting, and he makes all of them rethink a lot of things. There's a lot of humor in the play. Occasionally, the dialogue and the situations are a little glib, but this is the play, I think, that's most likely to go on to subsequent productions.
All right, so if Support Group for Men is the most sort of commercial of this year's offering, commercial success and artistic success, of course, aren't always the same thing. Was there one play that you felt was really the big standout artistically?
Definitely, definitely. And it also deals with definitions of masculinity. The highlight of the festival for me is a play called Antonio's Song, I Was Dreaming About a Son. One of my criteria for judging how well a play does is how well it achieves what it sets out to do. And Antonio's Song does this. The play aces that test. It also takes the festival's biggest stylistic leap. It's a one-man autobiographical play in which movement is as important as text, as important as the words. It's co-written by Dale Orlander Smith and actor Antonio Edward Suarez. It's his story, growing up Latin and black in Brooklyn. And it starts and ends with him working in his studio. His 5-year-old son keeps interrupting his work. And in between, we see his own coming-of-age story. And Suarez tells this story with his whole body. Some of his movements are graceful, some of them are kind of jagged, and they represent different kinds of struggles that he's faced. One struggle is balancing friendships between Latin and black friends. Here's a clip.
And this was a job, keeping the group separate, hanging with my Latin friends Monday, Wednesday, part of Saturday, my black friends Tuesday, Friday, the other part of Saturday, Sunday, was my day of rest. Now, my sister, Pinky, her real name is Virginia, but she loved the color pink, having to prove that she's black enough because her skin is light and her hair is good, and having to prove that she's Boricua because she can pass for white. Will he, my son, have to prove himself like Pinky?
racial balance achieved through a Google calendar. That's good. That's Antonio Edward Suarez in Contemporary American Theater Festival's production of Antonio's song, I Was Dreaming About a Son. So you mentioned the lies we tell ourselves as another kind of intriguing theme. Talk about some of the plays that tackle that one.
Well, the plays that tackle that theme are the two most disturbing plays, as you might expect, plays about lies. But how disturbing they are is also an indication of their power. Chester Bailey by Joseph Dougherty is about, all about, living a lie, and for me is one of the best plays of the summer. It's set in a hospital in 1945. The title character is a young man who was injured in an attack at the Brooklyn Navy Yard where he worked. He lost his hands and his eyes, but he still insists that he has hands and that he can see. It's a two-person play, the doctor and the patient, Chester. This is a beautifully written, heartbreaking play. It debuted in San Francisco in 2016. I hope it will have a lot more productions in the future. It reminded me a little bit of the play Harvey. This is an odd comparison.
Oh, yeah.
But remember, that play is
with
about
the, like the fake
the man with the invisible six-foot-tall rabbit. Absolutely.
Right.
And so he's also delusional, like Chester. But I kept hoping that Chester's treatment would end up differently. And I'm not going to give away how it does end up. But my hope for that treatment to change is a testament to the impact of Joseph Dougherty's writing and to Ephraim Birney's performance as Chester. He really makes you like this guy who's determined and continues to be enthusiastic about life. I brought a clip. Someone comes into Chester's hospital room, and he's convinced it's a girl he saw once before he was wounded, and he fell in love with her at first sight.
She was wearing a nurse's uniform. She was a nurse! If you saw something like that in a movie, you wouldn't believe it, but there she was, right there in front of me. Her hair was pulled back. She had a white cap on her head, white uniform, so white it sort of glowed. That was because of the moonlight. She stood at the side of the bed like she was waiting for me to say something. So I said, I remember you. Do you remember me? She nodded her head and she smiled. God, that smile. You can forget a lot of bad stuff if you have a smile like that to hang on to.
That's Ephraim Birney in the title role in Chester Bailey at the Contemporary American Theater Festival in Shepherdstown. So, Judy, what's the other play that deals with truth and lies? You said that that one's also disturbing as well.
Yes, that's the play called Wrecked by Greg Kolaris. The title has several meanings. It opens with a married couple, Victoria and John, coming home after they've hit something with their car. Could be a dog, could be a deer. They didn't stop, and they're not sure, and Victoria is an emotional wreck. Then their friend Lynn shows up. She's just broken up with her boyfriend, so we have the idea of wrecked relationships. And ultimately, this play deals with a wrecked sense of moral responsibility. Some of the situations and Julia Coffey's portrayal of Victoria stretch credibility. Lynn's boyfriend also shows up, and Victoria decides to serve as a kind of amateur couples counselor. Her friend Lynn thinks Victoria and John have the perfect relationship, but that relationship turns out to be based on a ton of rules. And when things get uncomfortable, hiding from the truth. This play makes you feel uncomfortable, and that's a good thing. It does what it's about.
All right, just got a little bit of time left. You also mentioned a play about Marian Anderson and Albert Einstein, of all people. That sounds quite different from the other ones you
just talked about.
Yes, yes.
This is a historical drama by Deborah Brevoort. The first act focuses on a little-known event. In April 1937, Anderson gave a concert in Princeton, but the fancy local inn refused to let her stay there, so Einstein invited her to stay at his house. The second act is much more familiar, the DAR refusing to let her sing at Washington's Constitution Hall. Second act's very preachy, more like a debate. It's overloaded with exposition. This play is part of the National New Play Network. It's going to have two more upcoming productions. I hope it'll get some tightening and some honing there. I also probably should say a word or two about the sixth play, A Welcome Guest, subtitled A Psychotic Fairy Tale. This is a political allegory. It felt too contrived, too long, too overstated, even as a psychotic fairy tale. But you know, Tom, once again, this festival has produced a roster of uncompromising plays. one of the stronger recent seasons.
All right. That's the Contemporary American Theater Festival. It's at Sheppard University in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. It's there until the 28th of July, so another 10 days or so. We've got more information about it on our website, wypr.org/midday. So next week, Judy, we're going to talk about Chesapeake Shakespeare Company's production of Love's Labor's Lost. That's outdoors at the Patapsco Female Institute Place that they do in the summer. So I look forward to that.
Let's hope for clear skies.
See you then. Indeed. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow on Midday, the 50th anniversary on Saturday of the historic Apollo 11 moon landing. We're going to talk with space historian Dr. John Logsdon, the founder and longtime director of the George Washington University Space Policy Institute, as well as filmmaker Robert Stone. He's got a terrific documentary on PBS called Chasing the Moon. Plus, the great jazz pianist Lafayette Gilchrist will stop by to talk about his new CD, Dark Matter. That's coming up tomorrow. Lunch for our guests today was provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. They're celebrating 75 years as Baltimore's gourmet grocer. Eddie's is making surprise workplace lunch drops every week this year as part of their year-long 75th anniversary celebration. For details, visit eddiesofrolandpark.com/anniversary. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up right after the news at NPR at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.